listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we were going over some stories of 2022, and as I told you throughout the morning, you know, there were some stories that were really, really big, and I found one really fascinating. I just could not get enough. I devoured as much of it as I could, and that was LIV Golf, its emergence, watching players and their reputations, for a lack of a better word, sort of go by the wayside. Yesterday, Augusta National announced that if you've qualified for the Masters in 2023, you're playing in the Masters in 2023. They're not going to differentiate LIV and PGA Tour. They're not going to get involved in that. Will Gray joins us, NBC Sports, to talk about that and this continuing story of how golf has broken up in 2022. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. Good to be with you.
Good. All right. So was this a surprise for Augusta National? Were they going to lean one way or the other based on what people thought about them? Or were they always going to play sort of like the Switzerland game and all this?
Yeah, I think that this was the most logical conclusion. It's definitely the path of least resistance. Switzerland is a good way to put it. I mean, this is not their fight. At the end of the day, this is between LIV and the PGA Tour. And you know, we saw this earlier over the summer with the Open Championship and with the U.S. Open. It was tougher because it was you know, happening while their events qualification were unfolding. But, you know, this is always the thought of, listen, they're not going to create new categories for these LIV players. They're not going to say, hey, you know, Dustin Johnson, because you won the points list for LIV, you get to go to the majors for the next 3 years. But at the same time, they were also not going to disqualify players who had already qualified based on the criteria they laid out. I mean, the Masters, Augusta National, you know, this is their point of view, and it's similar to the other governing bodies of saying, listen, we post a list of 15, 18, 20 different criteria, and if you tick one of those boxes, you're going to get an invite in the mail.
That doesn't raise an interesting question, though. It, for the future, if you are a young player and somehow you attach yourself to LIV, is there a path for you to get into these majors? You can't, if you're not in the majors, you can't qualify for future majors, but also winning their tournaments doesn't automatically put you in either, and the world rankings are always is an issue. So how does a young player that might get on with LIV get into these in the future?
Yeah, I think that the big piece still needs to be settled is what will happen with the LIV tournaments in terms of getting world ranking points. Right now, it seems unlikely at this point, but not impossible, that they might get points at some point. That's going to be a huge key because, you know, as you mentioned, those are the guys that they're trying to get, and those are the guys they're going to face an uphill battle. You know, one of the big reasons that Cam Smith, I'm not tight with Cam Smith, but I think the logic plays out where, you know, one of the reasons he made the jump was because he just won the Open, so he knows he's got 5 years of major championship exemptions, and he can take the money, and then he says, all right, 5 years from now, this thing's going to sort itself out one way or another, and I've still got, you know, $90 or $100 million in the bank. You know, this plays okay for guys who have won majors within the last 4 or 5 years and have these lifetime exemptions. You think about Bryson and DJ and Koepka and certainly Mickelson. Those guys are still going to be in the majors, but it's players like Abraham Anser and Kevin Na and Jason Kokrak, that guys that tend to rely on being in the top 50 in the world ranking every year to get their spots in the majors. They're going to be in for the Masters, most of them, in April, but now it's going to be a lot of pressure on them because then you need to really earn some world ranking points in the majors that you do qualify for, because you're otherwise not going to get that many more bites of the apple.
The first year of LIV, based on maybe your perception, people's who like you who cover the sport, was it better than you thought, worse than you thought, the impact of it? Sometimes you get something going in a year and it means a lot, but sometimes it also shows you maybe you don't have staying power. What did this mean for LIV to actually get a season under its belt?
I mean, I think impact is seismic. You know, it's hard to believe that it was 9 months ago that Jay Monahan was sitting at the Players' Championship and they were calling this thing dead in the water.
Yeah.
You know, he was taking a victory lap that they had defeated this from ever starting. So clearly it has started. It is a thing. It's going to continue to be a thing in 2023 and beyond. You know, I think it's a net loss for golf fans. I think that, you know, the number of opportunities for, you know, a fan to watch the true top 15, 20, 30 players or whatever get together and play the same event, those are fewer and further between now. If you are a PGA Tour player from like 60 to 100, you just tripled your salary without doing anything, which is really nice. And certainly the LIV guys, you know, they took their money and we'll see how it plays out. So it's certainly been a year of great impact for golf. This is, you know, a point of inflection, or at least the start of one, for the sport in general, which you don't have that often. And it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out next year, because this thing is far from done.
it felt like at the beginning, like you were saying, there was a victory lap and there was players willing to sort of throw down the sword a little bit and say, hey, this thing is not, you know, this thing is not have any value or whatnot. Then I fast forward a couple of months and we're talking about maybe we should sit at the table and discuss. Do you think there's an opportunity that the two sides sit at the table and come up with some sort of connection to each other? I don't know what that connection is, but something.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be having Christmas dinner together on Sunday, no. I'll tell you that. You know, I think that from reading the tea leaves, from recent comments from Tiger and Rory and others, it seems a big linchpin towards any sort of compromise or detente is going to be the removal of Greg Norman as the figurehead for LIV. I mean, this is personal for Norman. It goes back to the mid-90s when he wanted to start a world tour, and Tim Fincham kind of quashed the idea and stole it from him. And he's just been, you know, poking the bear with this whole thing with, you know, over the last couple of years, frankly. And I think that there's a big sense among the PGA Tour side of it is like, all right, if Norman goes away, maybe we can have a talk about where this thing will go. But as long as he is the one that's running the show, you know, front of house or otherwise, I think it's going to be hard to see those two sides coming to any sort of agreement. But it's certainly something that's going to continue to evolve. It's something for sure.
Phil Mickelson went in 1 year from one of the most popular athletes in the country to somebody that was mocked and ridiculed. Talk about his journey from point A of hoisting the Wanamaker Trophy to a point where people were sort of dismissing anything he was saying and thinking he was kind of silly and just kind of ridiculing him for the comments that he made.
Yeah, I know a couple of my colleagues, Alan Shipnick and Bob Harry, both wrote, you know, books about Phil in the last couple of years. I feel like you could have written a book about Phil just over the last 18 months. Just start. Yeah. Chapter one is round one at Kiowa. Chapter 26 is whatever we are at today. I mean, there's a lot that's happened, and you know, most of it is Phil's doing. You know, we've seen the reports and you know, the potential motivations he had for joining the LIV Tour, and certainly those comments he made to Shipnuck coming out the way they did were very damaging to his reputation. And from there, I got the sense that he just kind of doubled down. He's like, well, I'm painted into a corner, and I'm going to continue and see where this goes. And you're right. I mean, I think that his reputation and his legacy have absolutely been tarnished and taken a hit. You know, if he had never hit another golf ball after holing out to win that PGA championship at age 50 or 51, I mean, that would have been an all-time walk-off in lines with, you know, John Elway and folks like that. But instead, here we are. We're talking about a guy that's kind of a fraction of himself at this point, playing 54 hole exhibitions and doing all the other stuff. So, you know, there's still time, certainly. You know, I don't think he's going anywhere either. I think there's a chance for him to rehabilitate his image and get back into, you know, the public, you know, Q rating that he once had. But while he's doing it on the LIV side, it's going to be an uphill battle.
The guys that are on LIV who made comments about the PGA Tour not, give the money and all of the things that they had problems with the PGA Tour. Are they still in on all? I know this is going to be a tough question, but are they still all in on LIV, or were they doing it to make the PGA Tour better and hoping they could get back to the PGA Tour that was better than when they left it?
I do think that there's reason to think that there's some people in that second boat that you were describing. I mean, Taylor Gooch and some of those legal proceedings has made it clear where he thought he was playing one event and then he was going to come back. And, you know, it's like that meme of the guy at the Jets practice facility. All of a sudden the door's locked once you leave.
Yeah.
So maybe there was some of that thought. I think that that's kind of foolhardy, or maybe they were getting bad advice to think that you could, you know, step out into this rival league and just dip your toe in the water and then maybe come back. I mean, this is an all or nothing situation where over the last, as you said, 6, 8, 12 months, their lines have been drawn and it's been very clear. All right, this guy is in this camp. This guy is in that camp. It's hard to think that, oh, I can, you know, let me try this for 3 weeks or a month and see how it is and then come back. I do think that there's something to be said for, you know, Phil was probably right on a lot of the stuff that he was saying initially of how the, you know, the funds could have been, you know, disproportionately, you know, handed out, and maybe the top players weren't getting enough. And that's, we've seen some significant overhaul with the PGA Tour's, you know, payout and revenue system. And it is especially beneficial for those top 20 or 30 players. So he wasn't entirely wrong, but certainly the way he went about it left something to be desired.
Overall, in 2022, where we saw Scottie Scheffler win the Masters and the near coronation of Rory at St. Andrews, only to have Cam Smith take it, and then Justin Thomas and Matt Fitzpatrick win majors and all of the other events and LIV Golf, Do you look at 2022 as the LIV story overriding all of that too much, or was it just part of the big stew that made 2022 really fascinating for golf fans?
No, I mean, I think LIV was the dominating story of 2022. I mean, you had a great, you know, major at the home of golf at St. Andrews, and all everyone was talking about was Cam Smith against Rory. It's, you know, it's like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker going at it, where even at a major championship, where that's the one place where these subtexts are supposed to be put aside for a few days, you couldn't escape it. And, you know, going in the PGA Championship and Mito Pereira almost winning, and there was a lot of buzz at Southern Hills that he was going to go to LIV, and it just, you could not escape it from a week in and week out perspective, especially as they were adding players, and you're constantly hearing from guys and talking to agents, and, well, what, you know, is he going, is he not? Hopefully, if they're filling out a 48-team or 48-person group for LIV, I mean, at some point, everyone will make a buying decision, and you're not going to have this low bleed of asking every player every week, are you in or are you out? I think that was detrimental to the overall product, and hopefully that'll change next year. But, yeah, when we look back at 2022, in 1 year, in 10 years, in 20 years, the story is going to be LIV.
Well, always good having you on this year. Again, this was, I thought it was one of the most fascinating stories because it involved so much. It involved an entity that had money, a breakup of an institution that we've seen for my whole lifetime. It involved stars. It involved money. It felt like it had everything. Thank you for all of the work that you've done with us on helping us talk about this in a way that was understandable.
No problem, Tony. Always good to be with you.
Thanks a lot. Will Gray, NBC Sports, again on the LIV thing. And again, Masters saying, if you've qualified, you're in. You're in. And we're not going to get involved. We're not going to be in this fight. And Augusta, and again, as we were saying earlier, it's not just going to be Augusta being Augusta. I think the USGA will do it. I think the RNA is going to do it. PGA is going to do it. I think they're all going to say, look, we're not taking sides. We don't know where this ball is going to land between you guys. And we just want to have the best tournament we can with the best players in the world. And this is our event. Once a year, the world comes to Augusta National, for example, and we want the best players here. And we don't want to get involved in who's fighting with whom and who's on what thing. If you're a past champion, that locker is waiting for you and your green jacket is in there. I don't care who you're playing for. And I think a lot of others are going to be following suit. All right, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.